Good morning. Welcome, and we welcome you. If you're joining us online, we are gradually increasing our online experience. Those of you who are in the pews that don't get a chance, you can go watch it later and get a review of the sermon and try and figure out what I was saying in the middle of all that. But just want to greet everyone and welcome everyone as we are gathered together in worship, whether we're here or scattered wherever we may be and are virtually. How many optometrists does it take to change a light bulb? Now, last week we talked about optometrists being the most patriotic, remember? Oh, say, can you see to every patient? Okay. Optometrists, how many to change a light bulb? One or two? One or two? One or two? If you've never been to an optometrist, you're not going to get that joke, but they give you two choices as they narrow in on your. I have a wonderful friend named Freitag who is an optometrist. She's a delightful lady. I hope she's watching, but I don't know that she is. Paya is ill today, so we're grateful for Diana and Stephanie both filling in as we are there about working some of the cameras. We're also missing Miss Ellen, who's recovering from some elective surgery. So prayers for all of them that they might be back with us. By way of announcements, I want to give thanks for all of the people that do all of the little things, fixing lights, pulling weeds, repairing this, repairing that, printing this, doing all of the different jobs that they do. I'm not gonna try and name everybody, but you know who you are, and you know the gifts that you make to the church. So I wanna give you thanks, and I wanna applaud you all, so thank you. By way of announcements on the back of the bulletin, nothing major happening this week. It is summer. Do you have announcements, or do you have anything for the good of the order that we need to lift?
Yes.
Richard, please, come to the microphone.
For those interested, out in the narthex, I have the poster up and the sign-up sheet for Faith Day at the Rockies. It's the 20th of August this year. And you need to sign up and pay by the 6th of August, because I have to have it into them on the 7th. So I'll remind you another time or two before then.
But please do so. A gathering with other Christians on a day and get to watch the Rockies. They may win, they may lose, but you know, good baseball is good baseball, so just watch it, that as it is. Deb Gunther is standing. Microphone to Deb Gunther, please.
I just wanted to remind everybody that on July 20th, it's the Next Crop fundraiser. And that'll be at Panda Express at Alameda, at the Target Shopping Center. And that's all day, So it's like 11 to 9. Thank you.
They need to have the certificate or no?
Yes. Yes, okay. You should have the flyer. I'll have, if we don't have them out there now, we'll have them next week printed. Thank you.
Yeah, please have those available, because I know someone who likes Panda Express an awful lot. Yeah, there's some fish lovers here. Other things by way of good of the order? If not, stand, wave hello to one another, and let's turn to our call to worship as we begin. Peace of Christ be with you.
Welcome, good morning, and all that stuff.
All right. You've got to do the call to worship unless you want me to.
If you remain standing for the call to worship, we come today. No, this is the wrong one. Okay, try this again. That was last week's. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. We are a scattered and divided people. Let us join as beloved brothers and sisters. Let us join together as children of Christ. We gather like chicks under the wings of our Savior. Let us join our voices together and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'll remain standing for the opening hymn, Gather Us In. It's in this book in 22:36 or up on the screen. Thank you.
says 11, 9 through 19.
When do I get to sit?
No, you don't know what it is. In a minute.
I read this morning from the 11th chapter of Genesis. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible to them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I forgot to add prayers for the organ. Just as we were finishing last week's worship, one key on the keyboard began to play on its own. You know, there are those rugged individualists among us in this United States, right? At any rate, the organ people came and have not resolved the issue. We'll be back Monday. And so as a result, that's why Barbara is over there instead of over there at the organ. So not her, nothing else that you need to worry about, but just an organ change there. By way of concerns, we want to lift the people that you see lifted in the on the back page there. We have lifted them before, and we continue to pray for them. We continue to lift them. As the war in Ukraine and Russia persists, some of the instruments of torture and death and have increased in their severity, we give prayers. Prayers that instead of having to find new ways to fight, that we find a peace that can bring those people to the end of their battling. Amen. Are there other prayers that you would lift this morning as we are gathering in our worship here? Okay, prayers for fires, they persist. I grew up in Grand Valley, also known as Parachute, where the one fire has continued to spread, 30% contained. That's up back behind the battlements, as we called it when we were there. But that fire, there's another one on the western slope, and we are now just now coming into the hot part of the summer as God has blessed us with lots of water through June. And we will need lots of prayers. So prayers for the Canadian fires, prayers for all of those disasters. Other prayers, other concerns. Mike, would you come down here for Dawn, please?
I just need prayers for my dad, Dawn. He's going through a really hard time right now. He's got some short-term dementia and is really struggling. So
okay.
Prayers for him, please.
Okay, Dawn's father, Dawn.
And then just for our family with the loss of our mom.
Indeed, indeed. All right, we lift those other prayers in our midst. Couple of people that were out and about. Ellen is out with recovering from an elective surgery. I already named that, but we want to be sure that Will you offer her a prayer of recovery? I see no other concerns by way of celebrations. Today is the 9th. Is it the 9th or no? I'm on the right day for once. Don and Mary Boyle's anniversary, 10 years on Tuesday. Ami Funaki, birthday on Thursday. Don't have a number of years. Monica and Joe Mathias Richardson, their anniversary, 32 years on Thursday. Susan Schneer has a birthday on the 14th, Friday. Are you ready? You were ready last week.
It really is this Friday coming up. I jumped the gun last week.
Did you take her out on last Friday or no?
No.
Oh. If I was her, I wouldn't have said anything and let it ride and do it twice as many birthdays there. But
she'll be lucky if we go out once.
Would you? prayers of celebration and concern for Richard and Susan. And we lift them both. Those are the dates that I have lifted of those milestones that God celebrates with all of us. And we did receive a wonderful missive from James Polliard. He is watching us and joining us regularly. I don't have your email, James. Email the church so I can email you back if you get this and see this. Other prayers, other concerns, other celebrations. All right, let's turn to our unison prayer. You find it printed in your worship bulletin. Lord God, hear our prayers. Lord God, join us in this time of prayer. Precious Lord, when the waves rise high and we lose sight of your face, still my sword, loathes Jesus. Calm the storm in me. When the howling wind and the pouring rain drown out the sound of your voice, still my soul, Lord Jesus. Calm the storm in me. When the thunder and lightning distract us from your presence in every circumstances, still my soul, Lord Jesus. Calm the storm in me. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation in preparation for prayer. Lord of all creation, bringer of order out of chaos, creator of light out of darkness, lover of humanity to send Jesus and to leave with us the Holy Spirit, always present. Lord God, we give you thanks as we are in prayer. We give you thanks this morning, especially for your grace, your gift to us, unwarranted, undeserved, and yet grace upon grace that carries us, cares for us, loves us, nudges us, nurtures us, unsettles us. Your grace through Jesus Christ and the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit that is within us, nudging us, reminding us, niggling at us. Your grace with which we would not be able to survive. Lord God, be with us. Be with us as we are here on your journey that you have placed before us, this journey on earth, this place of trials and tribulations, of temptations, of opportunities, of gifts, of love, of harmony, of care and compassion. Be with us in this journey that we might follow your path for us, a path that befits the path that we were taught by the master teacher, a path for which we were redeemed and for which we are saved to be your people. Thank you, Lord, for their grace, for the grace that continues to be amongst us, and for which sometimes we mistake as our own insights and inspirations, your grace, your epiphanies within us. Lord, gather with us this morning in worship as we sing, as we hear the scriptures, as we pray, and as we lift our voices in the unison prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for the gifts that we've received that are a part of maintaining the ministry here. You know that the plates are not passed as they have been in decades past, but are in the back in the narthex. We give you thanks for those offerings. Offer up yourselves as you will through Christ. Let us turn to a moment of meditation. Barbara, please.
And now, if you're able, you might stand for the reading of the gospel. This morning's gospel is taken from the third chapter of Mark. He went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him and to be sent out to proclaim the message, and to have authority to cast out demons. So he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew, and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm inviting Stephanie to bring up whatever kids she can recruit to come and help sing us with the song. It will not be Amazing Grace, but it will be on your screen. What is the name of this one, Stephanie? All right, we'll figure it out when it comes up on the screen. We had a video that we were going to play, and it was deleted somewhere on the internet at some point, and so we don't have access to it. I'm explaining this, and I'm also giving cover here while we invite young'uns. Is it just Stephanie this morning? All right, we're all going to have to help her out here. Lots of calisthenics this morning as we're about celebrating. All right, hit it, Bo.
Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
Amen. I wasn't watching. How many of you were doing an Irish jig in the middle of all of that? You can sit down. Thank you. I did have the urge to dance a jig, although I don't have any idea how to dance a jig, and that would have been entertaining. I am a ferroequinologist. Some of you may know that, some of you may not. May come as a shock. Ferroequinologist, ferro, iron. Equine, horse, iron horse. I'm a choo-choo train lover. Now, the last thing I would ever call it is choo-choo train lover. I would call myself a rail enthusiast. But a ferroequinologist has a ring about it that sounds authoritative, doesn't it? It's just a wonderful sort of ring to it. And I always thought I was a little bit weird. It's been this way since I was in middle school. The train went right through town. I would go out and watch the Colorado Zephyr come screaming down through town. Loved every second of it. And they would often whistle at me as it was going by. And remember the Silver California Zephyr? Did any of you ever get to ride it? Never got to ride it, but watched it many, many a time. At any rate, there's an interesting thing about us ferroequinologists, and that is that there are a bunch of us. There are a number of magazines devoted strictly to ferroequinology. The primary magazine is technically called Trains. Yeah, it's right there. But if you have not ever watched a train and been inspired up close to a live steam engine, we are close to the largest steam engine in the world, the Big Boy out of California. It is one of the wonders of our steam industry that the Union Pacific has maintained a stable of steam engines. I'm getting way off track here. Let's bring it back here. The point being that when we gather as rail enthusiasts for whatever it may be, a trip on one of the wonderful railroads in our state, and we have some excellent rides on some of the best old trains, the narrow gauge and what have you. At any rate, we gather, and it's always intriguing to me to get together with them as we're standing around and talking and realizing how diverse we are. I have had people from all different persuasions and religions and the sexes and colors and languages, and all centered around this thing about ferroequinology, around trains. And now another generation growing up around Thomas the Tank. How many of you have heard of Thomas the Tank Engine? He is bringing back a lot of enthusiasm to it. I'm not a big fan, but that's another story as well. It's just not authentic enough. But I love being with those others because we can put all of our differences aside and be unified in our love of trains. I like that. Don't you like that? Don't you like being in a group where you're all the same? And it's just, it's wonderful. I had an interesting epiphany last week. In the middle of the sermon, or thereabouts, I had this epiphany, and the sermon has come out of this. And I'm going to tell you about that epiphany, but I want to first talk about diversity and unity. I like being in a group wherever all of us are thinking along the same lines and we're all united. United Methodism fits in that. We can gather here. I can go to another United Methodist church and find like-minded people. And we are pretty much all centered around how we are and who we are. This annual conference, we had a schism. Some people of our United Methodist Church have split off now and begun to found another denomination. How many, have you ever heard of any other denominations? That's a joke. How many thousand denominations are there of Christianity? And each one of them different, and each with a set something that helps them and that within which confines they can all be united around. And I like the homogeneity of being in the middle of that. I'm using this word homogeneity, and we need to probably flesh that out. Homogeneity means the same. Biologically, it has a whole complicated title and definition and all of that, but I'm using it as in it's all the same, monochromatic, unified, the same, identically-ish. Was that a good technical definition there? I am wondering if homogeneous unity is natural. Now, I have to ponder that a little bit. Is it natural for all of nature to be really centered about only being one? Mike was telling me about his bees. He's a beekeeper. There's a technical term for that, and it went right out of my mind. Beekeeper? No, but there's another. Anyway, we'll go on down the road here. But he told me that he got some new bees. You can buy a colony of bees, and the different colonies are different. And one bee can't come and land in another colony and fuel up and then go on its way. They have guard bees that are out there, and they sniff or look at or feel, or I don't know how they detect, but you can only be a bee of that hive if you're a bee of that hive. True homogeneity. And I'm thinking, well, that's a natural sort of thing. But then I have seen some interesting videos of sheep being put in out in the field, and their only guard is a llama. They take this llama, and the llama flocks with the sheep, or the sheep flock with the llama. And if there is a predator that comes, a llama will drive off the predators. They're not homogeneous. A llama is not a sheep. We can say that very distinctly, and they get along and they do well. I've seen some interesting videos there's one about an elephant and a dog that were best friends. I've seen some others about different groups that have merged across entire type barriers, and yet and they aren't the same, and yet they unify in some way. So is nature naturally homogeneous and separating and isolating into distinct groups or not? For me, the jury is out. But what my epiphany was last week is that I am not sure that God seeks unity and homogeneity, but maybe God seeks diversity and difference. All right, here's my argument. All right, we're going to lift some scriptures. Richard read the first of those in the Old Testament this morning. You've heard the Tower of Babel before, have you not? Do we have that slide? Oh, yeah, there it is. Perfect. All right, not the next one yet, Stephanie. We'll get to that. So there's the Tower of Babel, and the people have built this tower. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Scholars said that some can say that's a kind of a stretch of a translation, that it really means a top that's as high as skyscrapers, very, very high. Doesn't matter. It's still building this tall tower. They're unified. They're working together. And the Lord says, look, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. That was out of the scripture, Genesis 11. Robert Alter comments that the thrust of this story is about the dangers of urbanization and dependence on technology. I'm not sure I buy that. Alter has an interesting idea, and I think that's true. But we know this scripture, and we've heard it, and it's a great example when little kids come up to you and say, Mommy, Daddy, why do people speak different languages? Well, we can turn to the Tower of Babel. God scattered the people. And when they were speaking, their languages were so different, it sounded like they were babbling. They were couldn't understand each other, so they divided into groups that could understand each other. It may be true that that was what the Yahwists intended when they were part of editing and bringing this forward. Regardless, the Tower of Babel supports diversity. Do you agree? Seems to be there's a difference. So let's jump to the New Testament, please. Stephanie, picture if you will. You might recognize this picture. Anybody been there to see the Last Supper actually painted on the dining area of a chapel in Italy. Isn't it Italy? Yeah, and I should have looked this up beforehand. I apologize. I didn't do the research that I should have done. At any rate, you've seen this picture. This is the Last Supper of Jesus with his apostles, isn't it? This is Michelangelo's version. And this is an actual picture. There's a doorway right in the middle of the table. You see that? And if you see reproductions that have their feet showing and it's all complete, they have modified their version. I'm just saying. But Jesus chose these 12 individuals. And think about it a minute. There's Andrew. To begin with, Andrew is a Greek name. It's not Hebrew at all. He's Greek. He's a different, and he's a young, uneducated fisherman. You'd call him a blue-collar worker, perhaps. And there's Simon. There's Simon, and Simon the Cananean, he is a warrior. He is one who believes in the armed revolt against Rome to return the nation to its power and its own autonomy. I think about Simon Peter. Then he vows to follow the Lord regardless, unquestioning, perfect follower. And next to him, Thomas. Thomas is the one that says, well, unless I see and feel the wounds in his hand, I will not believe. Was he a doubter? That's how he gets named, Thomas, Doubting Thomas. Or was he more like the scientist, the thinker, the cognitive, I need to understand? And understanding Jesus is going to be a full-time job any way you look at it. So here are this group of educated Matthew, who was wealthy and learned, who's a businessman, if you will. How is he going to sit next to Andrew, who can't even read and write, possibly? How are they going to be unified? They are not a homogeneous group, are they? They don't appear to be all of the same in any way, shape, or form. And Jesus chose them along with the women. There are women that are there. There's Mary and Martha. They're hardworking gals. And then there's a woman that's so wealthy that she can buy the perfume that is so expensive. Do you remember the parable? It's so expensive. And one of the disciples says, oh, don't waste that on the feet. We can sell this for money. And Jesus says, no, she is honoring me here and now. Expensive perfume. So a wealthy woman and a poor couple of women. And Jesus chose Judas Iscariot. He chose him. That's unsettling for us. It's a challenge for us. It's something to set in, pray about. So there are two other scriptures I want to lift. Just a couple weeks ago, actually, it's been that longer than that because it's before I went on vacation. We had Pentecost. Do you remember Pentecost? And do you remember the event of Pentecost? The disciples are all gathered in the upper room and suddenly tongues as a fire descended upon each of them and spoke to each of them and gave them the gift of utterance, the ability to speak, to go out into the world and speak to people in their own languages. Somebody could go out there and speak in Russian. Somebody could go out there and speak in Japanese. Somebody could go out there and speak in Urdu. I'm running out of languages, help me. You know what I mean. But the Spirit didn't unify them around a language or a culture, but went out to all the diverse, unified around Christ, yes. That unity comes, or that lack of unity comes in the Gentile mission. Think about that. The first people to come and to follow Jesus were Jews who were moved from their Jewish tradition to be a part of this movement which Jesus was leading. But gradually others who were not Jewish began to come. We call them the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. We are those who didn't grow up genetically and traditionally Jewish. And yet they are welcomed in as well. Jesus makes his point of going outside of the parameters of the Jewish world, goes and he meets a woman at the well. She's an outsider. Not only an outsider of culture, but she's a woman, which was not a unifying principle. But he reaches out to that culture, and the disciples stay with them for several days. So this is the epiphany that I had, and I'm putting it out before you as a possibility. What is your opinion? What do you think? This is just mine, and you may disagree, but it opens a conversation about whether or not God seeks all of everyone to look the same, think the same, believe the same, whether God has always been about diversity and about diverse peoples of diverse cultures with diverse ideas coming together. And isn't it possible that our Christian challenge to love one another is centered around our ability to love people despite that diversity, to find ways to be carers of one another even when we disagree with them? I put it before you, amen? Let's turn to our next hymn, and I believe this is Open My Eyes That I May See. Is that true? Richard, are you going to help lead us in singing? Hike yourself on up here. The rest of you, if you'd stand, and let's join together. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth, vast house for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Brothers and sisters, we come together, we celebrate together, we worship together, but perhaps we worship needing to see the diversity and celebrating it and desiring that diversity. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, guide us. Guide us to be your people. Amen? Amen. Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing. People said, Amen.